All right. We left off last week discussed Michal Kel Chaim Bechesed. We discussed the two perspectives about Chaim being either just being alive, or Chaim being, you know, the sustenance of life, like you know, food and parnasa and things like that. So tonight we're going to move on to Mechayim Eisim Berachamim Rabim, and get into a little bit the following clauses. So Mechnuflim Rofi Cholim, we'll see how far we get into that. So we'll start with Mechayim Eisim Berachamim Rabim. So we first said Mechal Kel Chayim Bechesed, Hashem supports life with Chesed, and Mechayim Eisim Berachamim Rabim, resurrects the dead with rachamim rabim, with abundant rachamim. So what exactly is the difference between chesed and rachamim, and why is it that chesed is mechal kel chayim is through chesed, but mechayim esim is with rachamim? So the idea of chesed implies a gift which nothing preceded that. There's not necessarily any element of deserving on the part of the recipient. Chesed is not something which is given because you've done anything to earn it. Chesed is done with something which is just, it gets it just because he gets it, right? It says that Olam Chesed Yibane, that Hashem built the world through Chesed. Obviously, the world could not have earned its own existence if it didn't exist yet, right? The idea of chesed is something which is not predicated on any previous accomplishment, on anything which was previously done deserve it, just a pure gift. Rachamim, as opposed to chesed, implies that there is some level of deserving on the part of the recipient, just that something has come along and gotten in the way, either something that the person's own actions have prevented it, or something, there's some other factor which would prevent this deserving reward, whatever this that they deserve, from being realized. So the recipient has done something to deserve what he's receiving. But rachamim is necessary to kind of push it through, for it to materialize, to come to fruition. So chayim in this world is given with chesed, without any deserving of the recipient. Whether you understand that chayim is that Hashem sustains life, or certainly if you understand that Hashem gives life, that just the fact that a person is alive in the first place, so when a person comes into existence, certainly they didn't do anything to deserve it at that point, but that that being alive in this world is something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives chayim, gives just existence and being alive, that comes through chesed. The gift of tchiyas hamesim, however, the gift of the resurrection of the dead, that has to come through some aspect of the deserving of the recipient. Explain why. The tchiyas hamesim is, according to most, this is not the opinion of the Rambam, but the Rambam is very much a das yachid, is very much an outlier opinion in this. The tchiyas hamesim is, according to most Rishonim, certainly according to the Mekubalim, is the transition into Olam Haba, the transition into the final reward, that there is this world, and then there's a separate point, you know, person dies, they go to a place which we refer to as Olam Haba, which is not actually Olam Haba. The correct term for that place is really Olam HaNeshamos. Then, at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, the body is reunited with the soul, and that's Tchiyas HaMesim, and then at that point when the body and the soul come back together, they enter into Olam Haba. And that is the true period of reward. So tchiyas hamesim is really the transition point, the point of entry into the final reward for which, you know, all of history is culminating, is working toward. So the whole point of this world of avoda, the whole reason we're here, the whole reason that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just, you know, start us out in Olam Haba, is in order that we have a world of avoda, we have a period of existence, a frame of existence in which we have the ability to earn on our own, in order that we're not receiving handouts in the next world. When we came to Olam Haba, we've earned our reward, and we don't have the embarrassment of knowing that this isn't something that we really deserve. We have the ability to be koneh, to acquire on our own our reward, and therefore to feel like it's something which is really ours. And that's the what makes the schar complete, which is what the Ramchal and many refer to as Nahama de Kisufa, that if you're given a free gift, there's a certain embarrassment that comes along with it. And therefore, in order to solve that, in order to obviate that, so we have an opportunity, and we have an Olam Hazeh, we have a world of Avoda in which we can earn our reward. Therefore, the Trias HaMesim has to be preceded by some element of deserving on our part, and therefore Trias HaMesim cannot come through Chesed. Therefore, and we have to earn it. However, even though it's true we have to earn it, we can never really make fully good on our account with Hashem, because we can never repay Hashem for what He's given us, because He's given us everything. At the end of the day, even our ability to do tov, to do mitzvos, and to work on ourselves, and to do Ratzon Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us that existence and the ability to act and everything that goes into being able to even do Ratzon Hashem at the time at which we're doing Ratzon Hashem. It's really, we're really relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that moment. So the most a person could hope to do, if a person was a perfect tzaddik and did everything absolutely 100%, the best of their ability at all times for their entire life, we could possibly say they broke even. Even that, not so sure, because at the end of the day, the fact that they were able to break even, that itself, you know, was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But certainly, we can never really, you know, fulfill the debt that we have to Hashem. We can never repay Him for everything that He's given us. And therefore, the justification, our reward, is never truly deserved in the fullest sense of the word. The Chafetz Chaim actually used to say that that the pasuk says that it says that Hashem is, I don't know the exact words at the beginning of the pasuk, it says that Hashem is, you know, so kind because He's gomel ish kima'asav. He repays each person kima'asav, which in its simple meaning means according to his actions, right? So the Chafetz Chaim says, what does that mean? That Hashem is so kind because He pays someone according to His actions? If that's what His actions are, then that's fair. That's justice that you should get, you know, what you've done according to your actions. So the Chafetz Chaim said, what the pasuk means is that when a person does something, you know, really a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's, you know, imein a Kadosh Baruch Hu ozer lo inu yochol. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't assisting a person, you wouldn't be able to overcome the Yitzhar. You wouldn't be able to do anything in this world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gomel le'ish kima'asav means that Hashem pays a person back as if it were his actions, as if the person did it himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain element of a chesed, of a kindness that He does, that He treats it as if we accomplished it on our own, even though in a very brutally honest perspective, that's not really true. We didn't really do it on our own. Nothing that we've done can really say we accomplished on our own. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us back, but our reward is never truly deserved in the fullest sense of the word. But Hashem overlooks our finite boundaries which hold us back, and He gives us our final reward according to the extent which we did earn it. And therefore, Hashem is mechalkel chayim b'chesed. He gives life in this world is through chesed. But Mechayim Esim, that which He is resurrects the dead and brings us into Olam Haba, that's Berachamim Rabim. That's with abundant Rachamim, because first of all, it's Rachamim that He considers that he overlooks everything that we did wrong and all of the mistakes that we make. But even after that, it's Rachamim that He said, even the good that we did, that HaKadosh Baruch considered, you know, is Machzik Tova, considers it as if we've done something nice for Him, when at the end, when in reality, we're, you know, not, you know, at best just paying Him back for the fact that He's giving us existence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that Mechayim Esim, that which you have, Tchiyas HaMesim, that's Berachamim Rabim. That can only come about through Rachamim. I mentioned a moment ago that this idea that what we refer to as Olam Haba is not really Olam Haba. When we refer to it as Gan Eden, it is really Gan Eden. The Ramban says that where the neshamas go after a person dies is Gan Eden, but that's not really Olam Haba. And the neshamas go to Gan Eden, which is referred to as Olam HaNeshamos or Mador HaNeshamos. Then the Ramak or Moshe Carrivero, so he explains, and we've spoken some of the things before. The Ramchal discusses this also, but he says that the neshamos in Gan Eden, they're awaiting Tchias HaMesim. That the Olam HaNeshamos is really a place where the neshama is kind of, so to speak, hanging out. Exactly what it's doing there, maybe we'll discuss, or maybe we mentioned it before. I don't remember, but. They're awaiting Tchias HaMesim. They're awaiting reuniting with the guf, reuniting with the body, at which point they can achieve greater perfection and completion than they did before. The reward of the neshama in the world of souls and the Olam HaNeshamos is really incomplete. What the neshama does there, that it's has menucha, it has a certain rest and a certain getting the energy that comes through the mitzvos that the person did while they were in this world, but that's incomplete. In the schar that is meant for a person, the schar of the Olam HaNeshamos is really not the final step. The true reward is for a person to become dome liyotro, to become like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, similar to the Creator, and to bring goodness and perfection to something else. So when the neshama comes back to the guf, when the soul returns to the body, and it purifies and refines the body. So it's an addition of shleimus, it's an addition of perfection to the neshama itself. In that it, the neshama, becomes a mative, it becomes a bestower, it becomes an entity which has given good to something else. And then at this greater level, the neshama itself has now become greater, so it can go back to the guf and give even more because the neshama is now even greater. And there's a continuous cycle, you know, an infinite feedback cycle that the neshama is able to give to the guf, is able to bring up the guf and refine the body. And through that, the neshama itself becomes greater and then it's able to refine the body even further. And but the ultimate perfection for the neshama itself, is with the guf. Unlike other religions, where the ultimate spiritual accomplishment is divorcing from the physical, is to remove yourself from any attachment to the physical. In Judaism, so the Ramchal speaks this out, and we'll talk more about this when we talk about the third bracha, the bracha of kedusha. But the Ramchal says in Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal has a step, which is the third to last step in the ladder, is tahara. And the Ramchal says that the level of tahara, the madrega of tahara, is where a person removes himself from anything physical because he knows that, you know, any involvement in physicality can bring a person down, and therefore he eats as little as he needs to, and he enjoys this world as little as possible. That's the level of tahara. The level above that is a level called kedusha. And the level of Kedusha is someone who engages in this world for the sake of sanctifying it, of bringing it up. And that's a higher level. The level of Tara is the level below the level of Kedusha. The ultimate level of achievement, of spiritual achievement in this world, is the connection between the physical and the spiritual. And the ultimate reward, the ultimate level that the neshama reaches, in Judaism, the reconnection of the neshama and the guf is a higher level for the neshama itself, and that's the tchias hamesim. Mechayim mesim is tchias hamesim is berachamim rabim. It's the point at which the body comes back to the soul comes back to the body as a point of greater opportunity for the neshama itself, for the person to achieve the true shleimus, the true perfection that man is created for. That comes only at the point of Tchias HaMesim. One other thought? No, still a few more thoughts. Okay, so the Tosos writes that the Gemara says that there's a second din by Tchias HaMesim, that even though a person, when they die, We say that they have a din, that when a person goes up to Shemayim, and we have Gemaras to talk about the questions that they ask this person when he dies, before he can go into the Olam Emes, before he can go into Gan Eden. So a person has a din when he passes away. The Gemara says that at the that La'asid Lavo, that there's also going to be a din, that all of the people who are who were already dead and they're being decided whether they can whether or not they can come back for Tchias HaMesim, so they have another din at that point. And Tosel says, like, you know, they haven't really done much since their last din, so exactly what is the point of having a second din at that point? Why are we why is there another din after a person's, you know, just been dead this whole time? So Tosel says that a person can merit Tchias HaMesim through that which he's gotten part of his punishment in Gehenna, that which he died and he had rectification process. He had this. He was in Gehenna and he got part of the onesh. He got part of the process that he needed to go through, and therefore he can now merit to be to Tchias HaMesim, even though the zchuyos that he had when he died may not have necessarily gotten him there. So that's, you know, possibly another perspective what it means rachamim rabim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechayim mesim rachamim rabim, that even though the person may not through the balance of where he was, of what he accomplished in this world, may not have actually deserved it, but now that we've subtracted some of his demerits because he's received the consequences for them, so now he can be zocha to Tchias HaMesim through the new din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassesses where the person is holding now, and he can still have Tchias HaMesim through that measure of rachamim. The Sefer HaMinhagim, quoting Harav Yaakov, says that Mechaya Mesim is referring to waking up from sleep. Why? Because Chazal tell us that sleep is 1/60th of death. And the idea of a 60th, right, that we have a halacha that everybody knows in their kitchen, that if a little bit of milk falls into your chicken soup, so if it is less than 1/60, then it is batal, then it doesn't do anything, because something only gives off a taste, something only is a significant enough quantity, min hastam, you know, without tasting it to double check, since you can't taste it, since it might be not kosher. But if something is less, is one more than a proportion of 1/60th, then we assume that there's enough to impact, it's potent enough to impact the taste of that thing. If it's less than 1/60th, then it doesn't give off a taste. A 60th is the measure at which something gives off a taste. It's the point at which there's some feeling of what's there. So 1/60th, sleep, is a taste of the experience of death. Sleep is a taste of the experience of the separation between the neshama and the guf. Every time a person goes to sleep, their body stays here, and their neshama goes part of the way back up to Shemayim. And awakening, when a person wakes back up, is a taste of the experience of Tchias HaMesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you new life. He puts the neshama back into the guf. Every morning we say, Moda Ani Shehechazarta Bi Nishmasi, that you put my soul back into me. We say, Elokai Neshama Shenasati Bi Tahorahi, right? That there's a return of the neshama to the guf. It's on a much smaller scale than it was when a person was actually dead, but there is a certain taste of the experience of Tchias HaMesim, because every night a person's soul leaves them and comes back in the morning. I think, probably, that this is why we have dreams while we're asleep. That when a person is asleep, they have dreams. Some people, if they're in an exciting enough classroom, have dreams also while they're awake. But normally, we have dreams while you're asleep. And dreams, Chazal say, are 1/60th of nevuah. They occur when we sleep, because when we sleep, our neshama has gone higher up. Our neshama has gone closer to Shemayim. It's separated partially from the body. There's less of the barrier of the physical, just like we find by all Nevi'im except for Moshe Rabbeinu, that there was a detachment, a shutting down of the physical part of them when they received Nevuah. They would lose control of their body. Many of them only got Nevuah when they were asleep. They would lose control of their body. They would all different kinds of things. But that it was a lack of, that while they were receiving Nevuah, that the physical body is in a certain sense a barrier, like the Rambam writes in his Hakdama de Pirkei Avos in the seventh parak of the Shemona Prakim. The Rambam says that every layer of a person's physicality, whether including their negative midos and things like that, are a layer of separation between them and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And a Navi is someone who's removed enough layers of that separation that they're able to see through, you know, the veils that are there and get some level. And the greatest Nevuah was Moshe Rabbeinu, who had nothing separating. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Ba'as Baklari HaMa'ira. He had removed all the layers. The only thing he had left was the fact that he was still a physical human being. But that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had the clearest Nevuah that there was, the Rambam says there. But for our purposes, that the Nevuah comes through the point where there are less layers of impediment between the person and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person and their spiritual vision is clearer because there's less of the physicality in the way. So when a person is asleep and the neshama has left, separated from the body, so at that point, that's when nevuah, that's when you have a dream, which is a certain version. It's 1/60th. You have a taste of the experience of the separation of the neshama from the guf. You also get a taste of the experience of nevuah. One final thought on this line. So the Avudraham writes that is, he says, Mechal Kelchaim Bechasin Mechaim Mesim Merachim Imrabim Holech Umefarish. He says, and Shimon Esrei then goes on to explain, which means the Avudraham understands that Mechaim Mesim Merachim Imrabim leads into the next point. So Mechnovim Rofecholim Umati Asurim. These are all examples of how a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mechayim Esim. So what exactly does that mean? How is Somech Noflim and Rofei Cholim, how does that mean, how does that show a Kadosh Baruch Hu being Mechayim Esim? So possibly the understanding, the Siach Yitzchak explains that those who are falling and Hashem supports them, you know, the people who that we're talking about, that they're those who are unresolvably falling and a Kadosh Baruch Hu supports them, or those who are sick and all the doctors have given up hope on them, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu heals them, those who are Matir Asurim, those who have no hope of getting free, and Hashem frees them, that these are all these people who are beyond hope, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes, and he turns their situation around. The Ritva writes that all of the chasadim in this bracha, Somech Noflim, Rofei Cholim, all of these things that Hashem does, they're all, says the Ritva, they're mevatel ma'areches ha-kochavim. They override, they nullify the system of the kochavim. The kochavim, the stars, and the mazalos, they're all, the celestial bodies, they're the determinants of the natural path of this world. The mazel of a person, the mazel is the path of how spiritual energies flow into this world. Everything starts from a spiritual source, and the Ramchal writes about this in Derech Hashem, how things moving in Shemayim are really what different spiritual, you know, the metaphysics of spirituality at work are really what cause the effects of the physical world to all of the things that appear as events in the physical world start from things which are happening up in the spiritual world. And the mazalos, the mazel is the path of how the spiritual energy flows from the spiritual world into the physical world. The word mazel comes from the word nozel, which means to flow or to drip, the downward flow from the spiritual toward the physical. That's what mazel is. And the first manifestation of that is the constellations. They're the highest point at which there's this kind of map of the physical world, which you can view in the stars, and that's why there is such a thing as We find this in Chazal as seeing signs in the stars that there are certain messages in when things happen, and a person born under certain mazel can have certain has certain inclinations and certain tendencies. So that's these flows form the events of the natural world, and all of the chasadim described in this bracha are the chasadim that override these natural paths, that override the systems of the system of the stars. And these are all things, as we'll go through, that they're against the natural progression of circumstances. And it's the trias amesim of that is the complete turnaround. You're in from a situation which is beyond hope to turn around to something which is put back up at its zenith, to be put back up into a position of stability, of control. That's the trias amesim here is something which is, you know, for all practical intents and purposes over, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu turns it around. So we'll talk about the first one, and maybe we'll stop after that. But Someich Noflim. So Someich Noflim, we'll get to in a minute exactly what Noflim means. But the Metzudas David on and Ashrei on the pasuk of Someich Hashem L'Kol Anoflim. So the Metzudas David says that Lebal Yagia Ade Aretz, that Hashem is Someich Noflim. He supports the Noflim in order that they not reach the ground. They don't actually hit the ground. The word Noflim means those who are currently falling. I know there's a word in English for that tense. Present participle, something like that, something which is ongoing, which is going on right now. That their noflim means they're currently falling. That while the person is falling, that Hashem supports them. If it meant that Hashem supports those who have fallen or those who fell, so perhaps the word would be a kol hanefilim or nipulim or maybe es shanaflu someich Hashem lehem shanaflu, something like that. That there would be a different way in Hebrew to say that Hashem supports those who have fallen. The word noflim means they're currently falling. So Hashem supports those who are falling. And that's as Matsudas David says, that he supports them, that they don't reach the ground. They're currently falling. They're in the falling process, and Hashem supports them so they don't hit the ground. It doesn't say, Hashem is not magbia noflim. It doesn't say that Hashem lifts up those who are falling. It says Hashem is somich. He supports those who are falling. The normal path of something falling is to continue falling. Gravity and momentum make it impossible to stop yourself from falling further without something else coming along externally and breaking the fall and stopping the fall. So a fall is going to inexorably just continue in a downward descent. Hashem is Someich Noflim. He supports them to be able to stop the fall, that they're able to turn around and pick themselves back up. Some Mefarshim say that this Someich Noflim refers to what's the falling is they're falling into Averos, that Hashem supports them to be that they're able to bring themselves back out of the negative path that they're in, to bring themselves out of the Averos that they've gotten themselves into, that Hashem is Someich Noflim. Hashem gives them the ability to turn themselves around in the life direction that they're going, that Hashem supports them in that way. The Maharam writes that if we understand like this, so we understand how Someich Noflim is an aspect of Trias HaMesim, since spiritual deficiency is really a mild form of death, right? The Pasuk in Re'eh says, Re'eh nasati lefneichem es ha-chayim ves ha-tov ve-es ha-ra ve-es ha-maves, that I placed before you evil and death, that Ra is a certain level, a certain aspect of death. And, you know, the most basic understanding that, you know, removing yourself a step further away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a step further away from true existence, is a step further to inexistence, a step further to obliteration. So the removing from Ra, removing oneself away from that, is taking away from that death. And that way that the turning around from Averos, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person the ability to turn themselves around, is really taking them away from that Misa as a certain element of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Really, in a much more fundamental sense, death only comes from evil. Adam HaRishon was meant to live forever, and only because he ate from the Eitz HaDaas and he internalized evil into himself, that's why he became susceptible to death. Without Ra, without there being any evil, there would be no such thing as decay. There'd be no such...
But there was the tree of life, and God didn't want him to eat from the tree of life because then he wouldn't die. So that suggests that he would have died anyway if he hadn't... that's why there's the tree of life as well as the tree of life.
Right, so there's a big machlokes we've shown exactly about how to understand exactly what would have happened to Adam before he ate from the Eitz HaDaas. Did he need to eat the Eitz HaChaim, or did he not need to eat? Right, there's one resolution is that he would have been in a position where living forever would have been a good thing had he eaten from the had he not eaten from the Eitz HaDaas. Meaning, there's one perspective that he was going to die anyways, had he not eaten from the Eitz HaDaas, then Hashem would have wanted him to live forever, and therefore he should have eaten from the Eitz HaChaim. But some Rishonim say that from the fact that when he ate from the Eitz HaDaas, so the Ramban, I believe, says that when he ate from the Eitz HaDaas, Hashem says, because you ate from the Daas, you're going to die. And then what happened? He lived for 930 years, right? So it doesn't mean when Hashem said you're going to die, it obviously doesn't mean you have an immediate death sentence upon you. It means that you've now become susceptible to death. So eating from the Eitz HaChaim either would have somehow overridden that, and that's why Hashem didn't want him to eat from the Eitz HaChaim, or that now in his fallen state, that eating from the Eitz HaChaim would have been a negative thing. He needed to rectify himself before he could do that. Exactly, or the big machlokes we showed him, but with the Ramban seems to be the simplest understanding of the story, that if Hashem said, now that you ate from the Eitz HaDaas, you're going to die, and then he didn't die, it seemingly means now you're going to be, shayach to death. You're going to be
mortal,
exactly. But so on a step further, that even, the descent towards death, even decay, the fact that something deteriorates and rots, that also wouldn't be shayach without there being some ra, without there being some crack in the armor of the perfection of a person, wouldn't happen. The Kli Yakar, and a few weeks ago, Parsha, when it says, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, won't get into the whole context in which he says it, but the Kli Yakar there explains that the Yetzer Hara the Gemara in Bracho says that the Yetzer Hara is like a zvuv, is like a fly. And the Kli Yakar says, why is the Yetzer Hara like a fly? Because a fly does not have teeth that are sharp enough to make its own lacerations. A fly can't inflict a wound on its own. But when a person has an open wound, flies all swarm to the open wound, because once there's an open wound, a fly can get whatever bacteria and infections, and they can fester a wound. A fly can't make its own wound when there's healthy skin there, when there's nothing there to let it in, so it can't do anything. And that's the Yetzer Hara is also the same thing, that if there's perfection, if the person is complete, if the person is whole, there's no entrance for the Yetzer Hara to get in. It's only once there's the first, crack in the armor that the Yetzer Hara finds a pesach, finds an opening to get in and to blow things up, to make things much worse. But it's only once there is some pesach of ra that then it's shayach for things to get worse. But if there wouldn't be ra in the first place, something which is shalim, there's no makom, there's no place for deterioration to happen. There's nothing that there has to be some start of the downfall in order for it to happen. Chazal say that a person dies, they say everyone except everyone dies because of Averos, except for four people who the reason they died was just because of Be'ito Shel Nachash, that they died because of the bite of the snake, meaning the original snake, that everyone dies because of, you know, death overtakes them. But there are four people who, that it was only because of the Be'ito Shel Nachash that they ended up dying at all. So the four people who never sinned Binyamin, David HaMelech's father, Yishai, David HaMelech's son, Kalev, and the fourth one was... Amram, Moshe Rabbeinu's father. But the expression that Chazal say that they use to signify, you know, the impetus of death is the snake bite, the bite of the snake. The snake bites the ankle, right? Like the pasuk says that when it says that there's going to be enmity, animosity between Chava and the Nachash, or between the descendants of Chava and the descendants of the Nachash, it says that you will smash him in the head, and he's going to bite you in the heel, right? That the heel is what epitomizes where the snake bites, you know, just in a very practical sense, because the snake's, you know, on the ground, and that's where your heel is on the ground, but that there's this symbolism of it is that the ankle is the most dead part of a person's body while you're alive. Is the bottom of your heel. That's the part which, you know, the padding there that allows you to walk without it hurting, is because that's dead skin. That there's that the flesh there is, there's a certain padding of dead there. There's no feeling in the ankle. You can poke, you know, needles through that part of your ankle, and that's where the snake bites. That's where death comes into the body, and it spreads from there. And the snake is the symbol of evil, and its bite, its poison, it starts from that place where death already exists inside a person, and it spreads and eventually overtakes the person and causes death. And that's that Ra, evil, is the real ultimate source of where death comes from. And that's the Trias HaMesim, that the Someich Noflim is from that Be'ito shall that the person is falling, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Someich, it brings the returns them back from that path towards death, or that actual degree of death that they have because of the involvement in Chait. Still, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is only Someich, he's only supports the falling, he doesn't pick them back up, he supports them, because at the end of the day, turning around, it requires a person's own initiative. A person doesn't do tshuva. A person doesn't have tshuva done to them or for them. Right? The famous story in the Gemara that there was a fellow named Elazar ben Dordaya. And not to go through all the details of the story, but basically he did some very bad averos, and he was basically well known for being a person who sought out women who were, you know, for inappropriate purposes. And at some point, he, not to go through the whole story, but he decided that he needed to do teshuvah. And he goes and he sits down and he says, I don't know, the whole order of the Gemara, he says to the trees, do teshuvah for me. And they say, you know, we can't do teshuvah for you. We have to worry about ourselves, because they quote some pasuk about, you know, what's going to happen to the trees. And he says to, you know, the river and the mountains, that you need to do tshuva for me. And they give their response of why they have to worry about themselves. And he says to Shemayim and Aretz that you have to, you know, do tshuva for me, you know, beseech Hashem on my behalf. And they say why they have to, you know, look out for themselves. And so then it says that Elazar ben Dordaya realizes Ein Hadavar Toli Ela B. He says, I understand that it's, you know, totally dependent on me. And he put his head between his knees and he cried, and he was, you know, so brokenhearted that he died from it. And Abbas Kol came out and said, Rav Elazar ben Dordaya is Zilcha to come into Olam Haba. But the whole thrust of the story is that Elazar ben Dordaya, Rav Elazar ben Dordaya, that the whole thing, he wanted to, you know, put his problems on someone else, that someone else has to intervene on his behalf. And the realization at the end is that it ain't a davar tali ela bi, that it's, you know, tshuva is something that can't be done for you. A tshuva at the end of the day has to come from within a person. It requires your initiative to turn around. Hashem enables a person to make that turn. Hashem can stop the momentum, give a person the fortitude to make, you know, such a significant directional turn in their life. But at the end of the day, the person has to turn themselves around. And again, this is getting back to where we started with. This is the idea that this idea of Tchiyas HaMeisim is through Rachamim Rabim. If there's Rachamim, it's not Chesed. It's not a gift that comes. It has to come through. It's Rachamim as opposed to Chesed. It requires some effort from your part. Hashem will stop the fall. Hashem will halt the downward process, but you have to be the one to then pick yourself up, to then change things, to go around in the opposite direction. Because at the end of the day, this is only rachamim. This is only done with rachamim. Means that there's some input that has to come from the person himself. All right, we'll pick up next week with Rofei Cholim, and we'll pause here for tonight. So awesome.